Tonight we're going to look in Psalm 143. Psalm 143, and we're going to read this psalm in its entirety. It's 12 verses. Lots going on in this psalm, just like the psalm this morning. There's a lot of things that's taking place. I don't know about you, but I enjoy reading through the psalms. I enjoy trying to understand what is taking place for the writer, the life that is taking place. I enjoy the different things that the psalm shares with us. And so tonight is no different. And we've titled this message, Putting Things in Perspective. Putting Things in Perspective. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but we have an enemy. And that enemy is Satan. And so it's nothing new. It's actually something that's going to continue until the Lord intervenes. And we know that where his destination will be. We understand all those things. We're not going to get into that, but his days are numbered. There's no question his days are numbered. But until then, he's making trouble. He's making waves, as some would call it. And he's looking for weaknesses in the stronghold. Almost like if you were challenging someone, whether it be war or whether it be competition, we look for weaknesses. And then in looking for the weaknesses, then that attack, there's an attack on that weakness and trying to penetrate that wall or that weakness. Well, Satan is no different. Satan is always looking for the weakness in our lives. And so this psalm is dealing with David, and there's many that suspect that this was the time period that Saul was pursuing him. And there's many theologians and scholars believe that that's the time period. And when we read this, you can kind of see where they would get this. Because the psalmist David is being pursued, just like we get pursued. And I will add this, that anything positive that is happening in a life, whether it be in a church, whether it be in a person's life, whether it be things that are happening and you see God moving, there's always going to be an attack. Satan doesn't like when things are happening. And so there's always going to be an attack, and therefore we must be ready and we must be diligent, and we also don't need to get discouraged when there's an attack. Because if there wasn't an attack in some way, shape, or form, it would make you wonder if it's really God doing it. So there's always an attack on God's people. So we read in verse 1, it says, Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. And he there is just kind of putting perspective of who God is. And the understanding of righteousness comes from God, but not individuals. And verse 3 says, For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. In other words, the pressure is on. The enemy is attacking. And the psalmist is having a hard time. Verse 4 says, therefore my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. So that's the state that he's in. The enemy is attacking. He's weak. He's in darkness. The place that he's at, he's concerned. But then verse 5, he picks himself back up. And he picks himself back up because he remembers. He remembers. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. He's remembering the past. He's remembering what God has done. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. So that's simply meditating on what is taking place. Being thirsty for God to work, for God to move. Remembering the things that God has done. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know thy way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the tremendous blessing that we have in calling upon you. Understanding, Lord, tonight the enemy is strong and we are weak. But with you, we can become stronger. With you, you can hide us. With you, we have hope. With you, we have stability. With you, we have a foundation. So, Father, I pray that you help us tonight. And we ask that you speak to hearts as you see fit. And we thank you for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. Realizing the enemy is attacking in all kinds of ways. So, Father, I pray that you help us tonight. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to begin with four words, and it's found at the latter part or the last four words of the psalm that says, I am thy servant. You see, he reminds the Lord that he's the servant. But it also puts things in perspective because as a servant, there's going to be challenges. As a servant, there's going to be an attack. As a servant, the enemy is not wanting us to succeed. The enemy is on an all-out attack, I believe, today, as every day, on the Christian. I believe the enemy is attacking the church, and I believe the enemy is trying to attack all the things that is taking place. But we need to put things in perspective and we need to expect. You know, no one likes a battle. No one likes the challenges that the enemy brings forth, but yet it's going to happen and we need to expect them. You see, the psalmist finds himself in a very bad way. And we see this in verse 3. It says, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. So the enemy is attacking. And he's attacking in a very vigorous and a very strong way. He was fighting against the enemy, the psalmist was. And as I mentioned before, the belief is that it was during Saul's attack on David and the pursuit of David. The enemies we faced today doesn't necessarily have to be a person. Because I believe that there's a lot of different enemies that we face as believers each and every day, each and every week, each and every month, and each and every year, and just simply in life. And I don't necessarily believe that it has to be a person as much as just situations and things. It could be something that troubles us. It could be something that causes us to stumble. You remember, as I said before, the enemy is looking for a weakness. And so, therefore, it's so important that we stay close to the Lord. It's so important that we pray. It's so important that we recognize our weaknesses because we know what they are. And it could be something that just simply troubles us. In this psalm, we see an urgent plea for help. An urgent plea for help. So why did the psalmist need help? What was taking place? If the psalmist was a servant, then he knew that the Lord was on his side. So why is that? Well, I'm going to give you three things, and it's just going to kind of, we're going to walk down the psalm just a little bit and just give you some thoughts tonight. And the first is there's an enemy. And if we don't think the enemy is out there, we need to relook at things because the enemy is out there. And an enemy would just as soon a Christian stumble as he had anything else. You see, I kind of put it like this, that when it comes to a lost person, you kind of expect them to do some of the things that they do because they're lost and they don't understand. But when a Christian, when a born-again believer stumbles, and when a born-again believer struggles, and we're going to struggle, but when we stumble to the point that it could hinder our testimony, then it's almost like giving a black eye. Because unfortunately, in this world, people watches us more than they watch God. And we know that we're flesh. And we know, even though we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helps us and directs us, and He's our comforter, and I'm so grateful for that, we are still dealing with the flesh. We are still dealing with weaknesses. We're still dealing with the enemy trying to attack. And so the second reason is, first, there's an enemy. Second, there is a hopeless situation that has paralyzed him with fear. Verse 4 gives us that. It says, therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. It's almost like the psalmist in some aspects is paralyzed with the enemy and the attacking that is taking place. However, David was like a true believer and he had a solid foundation. And that's what we need to be reminded of. No matter what the attack is, you remember the song growing up, the wise man built his house upon the sand and the rains came and it come tumbling down. But the wise man that built his house upon the rock, when the rains came, it stood. Well, we as believers have a solid foundation, and we have a solid foundation that nothing can penetrate when it comes to our life and our relationship with God. And that's why it's so important that people come to know Christ as their Savior. It doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that we're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean that we're not going to fail. If you want to see somebody that fails, then we can all look in the mirror because we're all subject to it. But the hope and the understanding is that we are built on the foundation. And the foundation is the gospel. The foundation is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And the foundation, the rock, is Jesus. So we build upon that. We don't build upon ourselves. We don't build upon our accomplishments, our achievements, our life, but we build upon the foundation. And so David had an understanding that he knew who to call on. He knew who to turn to, even though the enemy was attacking. You see, he had something solid. The world don't have much solid, because the world is so wayward, and the world is so wayward to the point to where you don't know which direction it's going to go. It all depends on which day of the week and what direction the wind's blowing. And that's kind of how the world's situation is. But we as believers have a solid foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. So what did he do? He looked to God. He looked to that foundation. He looked to that strength, and he called upon the Lord. So there's a few things in these verses that I want to show you that as he looked to God, he asked for some things. He understood some things, and he recognized God for who he was. And so the first thing is he's saying, save me. And I'm just going to kind of put it like this because the enemy is attacking. So let's kind of put it like this, and we can understand tonight. And that is this. Verse 1, he says, hear my prayer, Lord, and give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me. So what he's doing, he's simply saying, God, save me because you're faithful. Save me because you're faithful. There's a song that's sung, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. God is so faithful to every one of us. And so he's asking and he's pleading, God, save me, not because of anything that I've done, not because, you know, sometimes we look at situations that we set, we give a list of the Lord saying, Lord, I did this for you. I did this for you. I did this and I did this and this. And now there's an attack and I just can't believe there's an act because I did all these things. It's not what we do, but it's what he's done. You see, we do things because we love him. We do things because, we have a desire to serve him. We don't do things because we want something in return because he's already given us everything. He's already given us everything. So the psalmist is simply saying, save me because of thy faithfulness. He also says in verse 5 when he says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. Let me just kind of put it simple. Save me because you can. Because you have the ability. Because you're who you are. So again, the request is not about himself as far as asking for deliverance, but the request is based upon who God is. Save me because of thy faithfulness. Save me because you can. And verse 6 tells us, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth for thee as a thirsty land. And so number 3, save me because I reach out to you. Save me because I'm now reaching. And anyone who reaches, and they're sincere for that reaching, you're going to do everything that you can to help them. I referred to parents and a child or grandparents. And if that child is hurting in any way, and that child looks up to you and shows those eyes to you, you're going to do everything you can to help that child. Why is God no different? We're his children. He saved us. And why wouldn't he help us? And that's just simply how the psalmist is putting it. Save me because of your faithfulness. Save me because you can. Save me because I reach out to you. And save me, in verse 9, let me read that verse. It says, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Save me because I run, and this is important, I hide in you. You see, he's not hiding, trying to find a hiding place, making it to go away. But his hiding is in the Lord. You see, his hiding is in the Lord. And we see that in verse 9. That's why he says, I flee unto thee to hide me. We're asking, he's asking God to hide him. Hide him. You know, it's easy for us to run off and hide and hoping things will go away. But you know what? We can hide all day long, but things aren't going to go away. But when we hide in the Lord, then that's just simply letting God fight the battle. You know, we're kind of getting in line with Him and we're hiding in Him and we're in His shadow. And so we're letting the Lord fight the battle because we're going to always come up short when it comes to fighting a battle. We need His help and we need Him to fight it for us. And then another thought here tonight is found in verse 11 and 12. And it's just simply, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for the righteous sake, bring my soul out of trouble. So let's put it like this. Save me because of your name's sake. Save me because of your name's sake. Save me because of who you are. But the important thing for us to see tonight is David is asking for help. So many times we don't ask for help. So many times we don't ask for help. We simply need to ask for help in this battle. We need to ask for help. Lord, I need you to help me. And I think we can put it that simple. I need you to help me. Verse 8 says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, and in thee do I trust. Cause me to know thy way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. David's just simply saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. He continues in that verse when he's saying, Lord, help me. And then he's also saying, show me where to walk. Show me where to walk. Cause me to know thy way. I actually have that underlined in my Bible because a lot of times we don't know where to walk. Many years ago, I used to coon hunt a lot. I used to coon hunt about 5 or 6 nights a week many times. And you know, I can't tell you how many times that we went through briars and we went through, my goodness. One year I was hunting up in Caswell County, and if you know where that is, it's just kind of rolling hills. And we turned the dogs out. It was on a Friday night, and we just had an awful time. One person fell in the river. There was a river, and it was 28 degrees. And so everyone was, he was starting to get sleepy. And so we ended up stopping, we built a fire. We don't know whose field it was, but he had to get warm. And we started shedding our clothes to try to help him. So he took off his wet clothes. And we were in the middle. Nobody knew where we were. And we were in the middle of nowhere. We had gotten into I'm not going to say an argument, but we had gotten into a disagreement on the best way to find your way back to where you started. And so four of us believed in a compass. Just set your compass and you can get back in that same general area. The other two believed that all you had to do was mark your trees and then you would find the markers. Well, in that argument, nobody did either. And we were in trouble. And so that was just one of the stories. We got back to our trucks, the next day, about 11 in the morning. And so that was an experience. But what I was getting ready to say was there has been times that I have gone through a briar thicket and about 10 yards to my left or 10 yards to my right was a gate and a road. And so we think we know which direction to go, but a lot of times we don't. So the psalmist is asking God, show me where to walk, and I'll follow. Show me where to walk, and I'll follow. You see, the enemy's attacking. And we need to know tonight where to walk. We need to know what steps to take, and we need Him to help us do that. You see, verse 10 tells us something else. And verse 10 says, teach me to do thy will. Teach me to do thy will. God's will isn't easy. God's will always be challenged, and God's will always cause an attack by the enemy. It'll always cause an attack by the enemy. If things are going good and you're rejoicing and I'm thankful things are going well in your life and everything's great, just don't get used to it, because it's just what Satan does. He attacks. So asking God to show us where to walk, asking God to teach us His will, it takes some things. And this is what it takes. It takes a willingness. It takes a desire to know His will and to do His will. It takes obedience, because it's going to be uncomfortable sometimes. It's going to take a humble heart. It's going to take discipline. But I believe that we're safer in God's will than we are anywhere else in our life. Safer in God's will than anywhere else in our life. You see, the psalmist knew he needed to call upon the Lord. He knew the enemy was real. So tonight I just want to look at about three things hurriedly when it comes to the point of what we're trying to make. Verse 10, we see a heartfelt cry. The psalmist has a heartfelt cry when he says, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprighteousness. Teach me to do thy will." The psalmist had a hunger to be close to God. The psalmist had a hunger to serve God. And the psalmist had a hunger to hear God. If we don't have that hunger tonight, we need to search our hearts. We need to have a hunger, a heartfelt cry, "Teach me to do thy will." So many things can get in the way of God's will. So many things can become a roadblock, can become a hindrance, and so many things can happen in our life that can cause challenges, and Satan is on the attack in so many ways. The enemy is fighting. The enemy is real, but God is bigger. God is stronger, and we can trust Him. The psalmist's enemy was trying to destroy him. You know, Saul, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to destroy David. And he set out to destroy him. But let me ask you a question. Did he? Absolutely not. Because God was in control. God was in control. Matter of fact, and we won't go there tonight, but matter of fact, if you know anything about the pursuit of Saul, there was times that David could have destroyed, but David held back. You see, that's God working in his life. That's God doing. You know, we want to destroy our enemy, but we are no match for our enemy. We have to understand our abilities and our inabilities, but God is going to get the final say. Just like Miss Ashley saying, the king is coming. We're not going to have to worry about this one day. If the Lord comes back at any moment, at any time, you know what? We're just going to let Him take care of everything. And that's what we need to do anyway. Just allow Him to do the work. So Satan has that same desire to try to destroy. So there must be a heartfelt cry. Number two, God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. God has a purpose and a plan for everyone that is here and everyone that is watching. God has a purpose and a plan. And the psalmist states it when he says, "I am thy servant. I'm the servant." The servant, as we are His servants, and as we are His ambassadors, or as we are His spokespeople, as we are here, there's some things that we need to do. And I shared with you a few of these things just a few moments ago, so I'm just gonna make mention of them just as a reminder. First, we must always remember. Remember what God's done in our life, because that will help you in the future. Remember how God has helped us. Remember how God has delivered us. Remember how God got us out of this situation and that situation. And there was somebody that I know that I saw this week, and he was in a good mood. I'm like, "What's wrong with you?" Because it was almost like his mood was too good. And he said, well, he says, I had a big burden lifted off my shoulders. And I said, well, that's good. That's good. That lasted about 2 days. And then he became troubled again. Well, that's what Satan does. Satan's on the attack. So we need to remember. We need to remember. We need to be thirsty. Thirsty for what the Lord does for us. Thirsty for allowing Him to work in our life. We need to ask Him for help. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not a weakness to ask for help. But it actually shows us where our strength comes from. Many times we think, well, I can do this. Instead of asking for help, I'm going to do this. But you know, sometimes when we think that we're strong enough to do something ourselves, do you realize that's when we hurt ourselves? We need to ask for help. It's not a weakness, but it's a strength. And then we need to be teachable. Verse 10 says, teach me to do thy will. We need to be teachable. We need to allow God. So many times we go into a situation or we go into a thing and we think we already have the answers. Do you know things can come at us so fast that we don't have the answers? And so we try to plan this and we try to plan that and we think we've got the answers. We think we know what we're supposed to do. And then all of a sudden another curveball is thrown. Do you realize that we don't have the answer and we just simply need to be teachable and put everything in God's hands anyway? Just put everything in God's hands. God, if you want me to do this, let me know. Help me do this. And we look for His will. God, if you need me to do this, I have a desire to do this, but you're going to have to show me. You're going to have to help me. You're going to have to give me the strength. So we need to be teachable. God has a purpose for every one of us. And God doesn't make mistakes. If you're here and you're living and you're breathing, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. It may not be the same plan that He has for me. Or it may not be the same plan that God has for a neighbor. But you can rest assured God has a plan. So we need to be teachable. The Bible says, I am His servant. We just need to be a child. We just need to have that childlike spirit. There's a verse in the New Testament that I want to read. Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, and He said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wherefore, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatness in the kingdom of heaven. That's just simply a child looks for help. A child looks for strength. And a child doesn't know everything, but he finds his help. And so the important thing is that we find our help from the Lord. And then lastly tonight, number 3, the psalmist showed his willingness. The psalmist showed his willingness. And what was his willingness? And I've just shared with you. His willingness was, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help because the enemy is great. What was he willing? Willing to ask for help. Willing to see who God is, verse 2. Verse 2 says, and enter not into thy judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Willing to see who God is. Willing to think on Him, verse 5, remember. Willing to trust Him, verse 8. Willing to give our all to Him. Teach me. Teach me. Cause me to know thy way. Willing to give everything to Him. And willing to call on God. Verse 12. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy them that afflict my soul. Let's put things in perspective. 3 things. There is an enemy. We need help. And we can call upon God. It's pretty simple, really. To remember that there's an enemy. To understand that we need help. And to know the one we call upon. which is God. You see, that's how we put things in perspective. Sometimes we overthink things. Sometimes we try to outthink things when in fact, just put it in God's hands. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, how we need to put life in perspective. We know there's an enemy. We know there's an attack. And we know who to call on. So Father, I pray as we have this invitation, Lord, if there's someone that just needs to call upon you, just to come down and talk to you and say, Lord, I'm going to give everything to you. I remember how you've helped me in the past. I remember what you've done for me in the past. And I know what you're going to do for me in the future. And I'm just calling upon you. There's an attack. There's an attack on my life. There's an attack in my situation. There's an attack on me. But Lord, I'm looking for your righteousness. I'm looking for help from you. And Lord, we just need to simply call upon you. Give our request to you. So Father, as we have this invitation, Lord, I pray that we'll be willing to come. You know, Lord, we understand that the psalmist needed to know he needed help. May we find that hiding place in you, Lord. But we must put that one step forward and come to you. So Father, during this invitation, Lord, I pray that someone will do that. Maybe many that needs to come. But Lord, we turn this invitation over to you and speak to hearts. And Lord, we'll stand back and we just simply want to give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. What number do you